The one from the Gospel of Mark, the story of the feeding of 5,000 hungry souls from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It is a story about the abundance of God's love and compassion and goodness. And Britton is going to read that for us right now.
This is St. Mark, chapter 6, verses 30 through 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to the heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000.
On this particular day, Jesus is not himself. He's tired, discouraged. What mother here hasn't experienced days like that? He's been separated from his disciples for some time. They've just returned from traveling 2 by 2 through the countryside and brought back with them the grim news of John the Baptist's death. Jesus wants some time alone with the disciples to absorb the news, and he also needs some time to himself. And so he and the disciples climb into a boat together and sail downshore a ways, hoping to escape the crowd. But the crowd is hungry, and they follow him. When Jesus and the disciples finally moor their boat, they step into the middle of the same crowd that they had hoped to leave behind. I suppose Jesus could have gotten angry. He needed time away from people and all of their demands. But instead, Mark says that when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. In spite of his need to be alone, he looks at the crowd and sees, well, not a crowd, but a tired mother with a frail baby in her arms, and an old man with a withered hand, and a young boy with a troubled look on his face. He sees all these people like sheep without a shepherd, and suddenly their need becomes his own. He may not have much to offer them right now, but what he has, he gives. And he spends that afternoon with them teaching and healing. When it grows late, his disciples point out to Jesus that the sun is going down and there is no food in sight. "Send the crowds away so that they might go into the villages and buy food for themselves," they suggest. They want somebody else to solve this problem. But Jesus has a better idea. "Give them something to eat yourselves," he says. And the problem is thrown back into their laps. It's hopeless. Can't he see that? There's no money, there's no food, not even a house in sight, and we're talking 5,000 people here. Even if the disciples gave all that they had, it wouldn't make a dent in the people's hunger. Let the people take care of themselves. And Jesus says to them, "How many loaves do you have?" They don't know for sure what they have, but they do know that it's not enough. And so Jesus says, "Go and see." We come to that point in the story where we realize that Mark is no longer talking about just the disciples and some 5,000 hungry souls. Now he's talking about us. Is there anyone here who doesn't know what it's like to face a hungry crowd, a hungry world, with just 5 loaves and 2 measly fish, and know that it's not nearly enough to meet the need? Or put another way, is there anybody here who hasn't at one time or another faced a problem, a situation, and felt that they were hopeless to do anything about it? Like the extent of hunger and poverty in the world today, Africa, South America, Haiti, or even in our own country, food pantries stretched to their limits, homeless men and women bouncing back and forth from soup kitchen to soup kitchen in order to hold life and limb together. And what can we do? The problems are too big and we are too small. I imagine every mother here this morning knows the feeling, those times of frustration and exhaustion when you throw up your hand and you say, "I can't do anything about this. It's never going to change," or "he or she is never going to be any different. I don't have enough energy or patience or expertise for this. I can't solve the problem." We've all at one time or another said, in effect, "It's more than I can handle. Don't ask us. We don't have enough to go around." And Jesus said to them, "Well, how many loaves do you have? Go and see." Mothers, parents, have sometimes had to overcome tremendous obstacles in their family to do what they could with whatever they had. It's not easy. Ask any mother today, if you have the courage, if she ever feels she's overwhelmed, carrying too much of the burden on her shoulders, not getting enough help. And you may be inviting a flood of frustration and complaints. They have a tough job, mothers do, teaching us what it means to be a person of integrity and honesty and strength. We know how to love in large part because of them. As hard as it was, they gave us freedom and support that enabled us to grow and to move out on our own. They built into our bones whatever confidence you and I have today, whatever capacity we have to trust and care, and whatever generosity, kindness, and gratitude we have in us. Chances are it was a mother who gave us the resources for those things too. Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have? What resources do you have? Go and see." One of the highlights of 40 years of ministry for me was the time that I spent with the youth of the church on our summer mission trips. We painted houses, we did housework for the elderly, we cleaned up after hurricanes, we taught vacation Bible school, and we learned what it was like to feel as if we didn't have enough. The problems were too big and we were too small. We went to places where there was never enough equipment to do the job, or where we were clueless about even where to begin to side a house or to thatch a roof or to feed a church basement full of hungry, homeless people. 5 crummy loaves and 2 dried-up fish. That was it. That was all we had. One summer, my wife, Bev, and I took a group of teenagers to Kansas City, where we worked in a variety of inner-city ministries sponsored by a church up north. We were overwhelmed by the enormity of the problems. So much needed to be done, and our efforts were so small. On the first day, a crew was sent out to clean up an empty lot in the neighborhood. The lot was overgrown with weeds and ugly bushes. But before they could mow and they could rake, they first had to cart away all the junk. And there was plenty of that. Beer cans and liquor bottles and garbage and old tires and a few used needles. Anything that you can imagine. Some you can't and some you wouldn't want to. It took most of the day. They got rid of the junk, they threw out all the garbage, they cut down the bushes, and they mowed whatever was left. When it was all done, it looked pretty good. They were proud of what they had done. That night after supper, they took a few of us over to the lot to show us what they had accomplished. The rest of our week was spent at a nursery school and a soup kitchen and also a day camp program for children. On Friday, our last day, those who had worked earlier in the week on that lot went back to check it out. They were heartbroken. The empty cans and the bottles were back. There was more garbage strewn about. All their hard work was for nothing. Nobody cared. 5 crummy loaves and 2 dried up fish was all they had to offer. Bev, who had been in charge of that particular work crew, noticed a man standing near a little convenience store that was next to the lot. And there were several people sitting outside his store on benches. Frustrated, she went up to him and asked how people could stand to live in this neighborhood, and then explained what had happened. The man said that he was the owner of the store and had been in that part of Kansas City for many years. What good did it do to clean up that miserable lot anyway? The man pointed to the folks sitting outside his store. Do you see those people? He said. A year ago, there was never anyone here outside my store sitting and talking the way they are. This neighborhood was a dangerous place, especially in the summertime. But all of that has changed because of people like you. Now at least people aren't afraid anymore. Now there is some hope. We learned something very important that week, something that has stuck with us ever since. Whenever we are tempted to ask, what can we possibly bring to a situation that will do any good? We learned that even though our efforts seem small and our gifts almost always are inadequate, God says, go and see what you have to bring to this situation. You know what this is about, don't you? Remember what Jesus said? You are salt for the earth. You are light for the world. It means God is using you, all of you and your gifts, to care for the world. Somehow you are God's blessing, you are God's encouragement, God's love and healing and forgiveness to someone, to others. So God says, go and see what you have to bring to this situation, to this world. And don't be afraid. I remember the first time that I saw Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He was Lou Alcindor back then, when he played for Power Memorial High School in New York City. His team was in Schenectady, New York, where I grew up, for a Christmas tournament. And they, of course, were blowing everybody else off the court. What impressed me most about the young Alcindor was that he wasn't afraid to shoot, even if he wasn't having a very good night. Good shooters, they say, don't have a conscience or a memory. They don't brood over missed shots. Their memories are short. They will shoot again because that's just what they do. Me, I wasn't much of a basketball player because I was too timid, afraid of putting up an air ball, afraid of missing too many shots, afraid of hurting the team. I don't want people thinking less of me. And so I hold back, afraid I'll mess up. And I'll run along the sidelines thinking of all the things I ought to be doing instead of just doing them. It's like that in the church. We worry about this thing or that thing, overwhelmed by the needs we see, afraid of the risk to ourselves and to our budgets and to our survival. And all the time, God calls us to go and see what we have. What gifts and resources do we have? And then do what we can do. That's all. Get off the sidelines. Get in the game. Shoot the ball. Don't worry so much about missing the shot. God has given us the power to face what seem to be impossible situations, to feed and bless and encourage and love and heal the world and its people. That's something to remember when the crowd you're facing looks too big, the work too hard, the situation too hopeless. It's something to remember here as you prepare to call a new pastor to this church and look to the future of this church, trusting God and one another. Stop staring at the crowd, all the problems and challenges facing you, and look at what you have, Jesus says. Now take what you have, your gifts, bless them. In other words, offer them to God, remembering to thank God for them. Break them, yes. Be willing to break them, give them up in order to share them, like the bread and the fish. And then give them to whomever is around, to wherever they are needed. Never mind that it doesn't seem to be enough for everybody. It's not up to you to feed the whole crowd or the whole world, or to solve every problem at home, in your family, or even here in the church. It's up to you just to share what you have in the situation you're in, to get off the sidelines of your caution and fear and get into the game, to feed whatever big or little hunger that happens to be standing right in front of you, and to trust God to do the rest. That goes not just for mothers today, but for all of us children of God. For now, for your part, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And then use them for whatever great or small good that you can do. Amen.